All right, good morning at Talkin' Baseball here as we get ready for Game 3 between the Giants and the Marlins and Logan Webb and Pablo Lopez. Good matchup of these two, and two preceding games, very different. 3-0 on Thursday night, Alcantara in complete control, and last night 15-6, and the Marlins put four on the board against Donnie Walton in the ninth inning to make it a little more respectable. Joining us now, Glenn Geffner. He is the lead voice of Marlins Radio, and love having him on. Glenn, how are you?
Marty, I'm doing great. It's terrific to be with you.
Yeah, glad to have you on. I always enjoy seeing you and talking ball with you. And, you know, a couple of things. One, I grew up in Miami Beach, you know that, from age 10 to 26, and a big part of South Florida, University of Florida, Miami Law School. And you're a Palmetto High guy, and people should know that's part of Miami, South Miami, so to speak. And now you're broadcasting for your hometown team. Now, Joe Garagiola Sr. always told me, I didn't like playing for that hometown team. It was always trouble. What's it like broadcasting for a hometown team? What kind of challenges does that present?
Well, you know, it's funny, Marty. When I grew up down here, there were no Marlins. I left for college in 1986. The Marlins weren't born until 1993. And I didn't come back here until 2008. This is my 15th season here. But it's obviously changed a lot from when I grew up down here. And at this point, really, I don't have any family or friends down here anymore. Okay. I have just a handful of friends. So and because of where we live in a very different part of South Florida than where I grew up, in many respects, it doesn't feel like working where I grew up. This area has changed so much over the last several decades, as I'm sure you can vouch for that. And so it really doesn't feel like I'm working in my hometown, if that makes sense. As odd as that is, maybe as sad as that is to say, but the cool thing for me is thinking back to being a big baseball fan growing up. We had spring training baseball down here. We had University of Miami baseball down here. I fell in love with the game. I had this dream that one day my hometown would have a team. And now here we are decades later. My hometown does have a team. And as you said, I get to be the voice of this team. So that's exciting. But I don't have some of the headaches that a player has coming home. People are looking for tickets and things like that. That really doesn't carry over from 1986.
All right, very good. I remember Palmetto High School very well. And, of course, I was at Miami Beach High, and I remember it very well. You mentioned University of Miami Baseball. They're in the regional tournament, aren't they? Aren't they hosting a region down there?
They are. And, in fact, they're about to play their first game at 5 o'clock this afternoon because we've had just a torrent of rain these last 3 days. It's finally stopped. It was raining when the Giants got into town a couple of nights ago. And literally, it just stopped. There was this tropical depression that passed through here, and we're expecting to get somewhere in the neighborhood of about 10 inches of rain this weekend. So thank goodness for the roof at Lone Depot Park. And they've been unable to play the first 2 days out at Mark Life, but they're going to finally play today.
Let me ask you about the ballpark. That you mentioned the name of the ballpark. Names always change for me, so I never can remember them. But the baseball's a little deader this year, and they said in April balls that should have been going out didn't go out in May. All of a sudden they started going out. Maybe they changed the ball again. How is the game being played now? Because that's a pretty big ballpark. Well, what's baseball like now? Now, of course, we saw last night Eliezer Hernandez allowed the Giants to launch enough of them. But
yeah.
Let's
he
forget
has a knack
about
for making the park look small, doesn't he?
Yeah, come on. Let's forget about him for a minute. We'll talk about him in a second. But what's the ballpark playing like for normal people?
It still plays big, and they've lowered the fences a couple of times in some places. They've moved them in a little bit, just like what you guys went through in San Francisco. And it still plays big. You see a lot of visiting players, especially. I think it might have been Jock Peterson the first night hit a ball that he thought he had gotten, and it didn't go. This park still does play big, and it's funny. This is the 11th season for the Marlins at Lone Depot Park. It had been Marlins Park until last year, and we haven't had enough games with the roof open over the years because of the threat of rain and the heat and humidity to really be able to say, well, it's a much better hitter's park with the roof open or with the roof closed. Even 11 years in, it's hard to draw many conclusions there, and even when the roof is open, well, depending on which way the wind is blowing, some nights it's advantageous to have the roof open, other nights it's not. So it's a big park. It plays big. And, you know, that's the Marlins' philosophy, to try to build around pitching, and particularly their starting pitching, which they thought was going to be really good this year. And that's how they're trying to win, because that's how you have to win in this ballpark.
Let's talk about Hernandez for a second. I know he got sent down today, and they brought a new pitcher up tomorrow. Boy, you know, he was striking people out, and unfortunately hit Gonzalez on an 0-2 pitcher. He might have gotten out of that second inning, too. But, boy, 48 innings pitched, 18 home runs. Glenn, I don't know if I've ever seen that before.
Yeah, and this isn't just a one-year issue for him. This is a Rule 5 pitcher who came in 2018 and has, for the most part, given you a chance to win every 5 days when he's been in the rotation, and especially when he's been healthy. He had two extended stints on the injured list last year. He's been on and off the IL in previous seasons. Look, he really, with some of the talent they have here already and with some of the guys coming, he really is a placeholder in this rotation, although he's lost his own place as of today, as you pointed out. He was optioned to AAA before the game today. But the home run thing has really been a major issue. This is a guy who only throws 91-92, which is unusual in this era of Major League Baseball. And he pitches up in the zone a lot. And if you make a mistake up there at 91-92, it's usually not coming back. And the Giants, last couple of years, have been a team that's hit a lot of home runs. And they certainly padded their numbers against Eliezer last night. It was hard to watch, quite honestly. He's a good kid. And it's just been such a tough stretch for him to start this season. And, you know, they tried something different yesterday, thinking maybe if you go with the opener for one inning, he doesn't have to face the top of the order that extra time. And maybe he can come in the second. He's pitching the bullpen some. And so it's not that foreign a thing for him to do to come out of the pen. Maybe that would help. But obviously that wasn't the case. And then last night, yeah, he didn't have to face the top of the order that extra time. But the 6, 7, and 9 men took him deep. And it was a rough night for him. And he just looked shell-shocked when he came out of the game. And I'm not sure if Giants TV picked up on it, but when Donnie went out to take him out of the game, Donnie put his arms on both of his shoulders and looked him in the eye and had almost like a fatherly conversation with him. One, acknowledging the fact that they kind of needed him to take one for the team a little bit and to give him an extra inning or two that maybe they shouldn't have left him out there for last night. And just to know, this is a good kid. He's a hard worker. You root for him, but he's going through a really tough stretch right now.
Glenn Geffner is with us. A pleasure to have him on. He is the radio voice of the Miami Marlins. I like Mattingly. I do. I think he relates well to the players, and I know he was with the Dodgers, and we had all sorts of stuff going back and forth with him when he was with the Dodgers. But I like the way he handles players.
You know, it's interesting. When you think of Donnie, you think of all those years with the Yankees, and then you think of the years with the Dodgers. He's a guy who's been with two huge market franchises. What has really surprised me is the way he has taken to working with a younger team and with a smaller payroll. He loves teaching. He loves trying to build a culture here. Now, he's kind of had the deck stacked against him. If you think about it, he came in 2016 at a time when Jose Fernandez was atop this rotation, and he had an outfield of Stanton, Yelich, and Ozuna, and you had JT Realmuto behind the plate, and you had a very different-looking roster. And then all of a sudden, at the end of that year, Jose Fernandez passes away. A year later, you've got an ownership change, and you say goodbye to most of your core guys, and they've been in rebuild mode ever since. And they hope to be beginning to come out of this rebuild, and the hopes are very high for Donnie and for this ball club this year. So far, it's been really disappointing, though, but he's terrific. And from, you know, for somebody of a certain age, and I guess I would consider myself of that certain age, I had the Hitman poster when I was a kid. I had such respect for Don Mattingly as a player, all that he did. There was a time you could argue he was the best all-around player in Major League Baseball when you look at the way he played for his face and the way he swung the bat for the Yankees. So I've always had a strong affinity for Donnie, and it's been a lot of fun working with him and seeing him work with this team. I just wish they could get over the hump because he deserves it, and I'd like to see him be here when and if this team finally does get over the hump.
Did they get anything out of all the trades, the Stanton trade and Yelich and Ozuna? Now, Alcantara came for Ozuna.
Well, they got Sandy Alcantara out of that trade, yeah. Alcantara, well, for the longest time, that was the Ozuna trade. That's now the Alcantara trade in these parts. And I think in St. Louis also, they look back on that trade and wish they could have that one back. That was the biggest piece that came back in one of those trades. The Stanton trade really was about unloading the contract. And so they saved about $300 million when they traded Giancarlo Stanton. What they got in return there really didn't matter. That was all about money. The Yelich trade winds up being an absolute bust in that every player acquired in that trade as of a few weeks ago is no longer in this organization. And they got some huge prospects, none of whom panned out. Lewis Brinson, Monte Harrison, Isan Diaz, and a pitcher, Jordan Yamamoto. They're all out of the organization now. None of them is in the big leagues. Brinson's been a little bit better lately. We're just looking him up today, actually. At AAA with the Astros, but Monte Harrison is struggling at AAA with the Angels, and none of them are doing anything. So that's a trade that certainly didn't pan out very well for the Marlins. You would have thought when you bring back four players, three of whom are very highly regarded prospects, at least one of those guys pans out for you, but none of them did. And obviously Yelich had two great years in Milwaukee. He's had some ups and downs since then. But the Ozuna trade was a huge win for this team. The Stanton trade, really, from a financial standpoint, was a win for this team. The Yelich trade, not so much.
Who pitches tomorrow? They keep TBD, it says, all the time. Do they have a pitcher for tomorrow?
It's not been announced yet, but I would expect to see left-hander Braxton Garrett, who's a former number one pick of the Marlins. A little bit of big league time the last two seasons. He's been at AAA this year. He's in the ballpark today, so I think you could safely expect to see him on the mound tomorrow. Not a hard-throwing guy. In a way, I hate to say this with the way our conversation started, he's kind of a left-handed Eliezer Hernandez. He's got a good curveball, and he's had some flashes at the big league level, but hasn't been able to sustain it yet. He's off to a very good start at AAA this year, and he's going to get a shot, it looks like, tomorrow in the final game of this series.
Okay. All right. Braxton Garrett, left-hander. Giants are loaded with left-handed hitting, so I could see why Bleier was the opener to try to get through that that first inning yesterday, and I guess Mattingly will come back with a lefty tomorrow. Well, today's matchup, we've been talking about it all morning, and as soon as I saw it and started doing a little research with both these guys, you're looking at two of the premier pitchers in the National League, two all-stars in my opinion. They're going to be matching up against each other for years, and here they are today, Logan Webb and Pablo Lopez. How do you like this one?
This is fun. When you come to the ballpark on a day like this and you know you're getting two of the best in the league, you know, the Marlins are fortunate in that they have at the top of the rotation two pitchers, Sandy Alcantara, who you guys are going to miss in this series, the one guy I guess you'll miss in this series out of the starting five, and Pablo. Oh, no, you got Sandy the first night. That's right.
Shut
out. Didn't miss
Come on,
Sandy.
3-0.
Yeah, he missed some bats. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I was thinking back to Colorado. Yeah, you know, he was brilliant on Thursday night, Sandy. He has become an ace, a horse, one of those guys that could front any rotation in Major League Baseball. And Pablo is that 1A for us now. The question with Lopez has never been, can he pitch successfully in the major leagues? It's, can he stay healthy and give you a full season? He's never done that. And while he pitched very well last year, he got shut down coming out of the All-Star break, had some shoulder issues for the third time in 4 years, didn't pitch again until the last day of the season. Now he's healthy. He's been brilliant, a 1.83 ERA through his first 10 starts. He's got a great changeup. He knows how to pitch. He's fun to watch. He does it all. He fields his position well. He's a guy who used to like to swing the bat back in the day when pitchers used to do that. But now the question every time he takes the mound is, okay, can he do it again, and can we keep him out there 5 days from now and 10 days from now? He's never made more than 21 starts in a season. So can you get him through a full year? Can you get him up around 30 starts? Can you get him to 170, 180 innings? If he can stay healthy, he's got a chance to be a really special pitcher for a long time.
Well, the Marlins spent some money over the winter. You know, they brought in Avisel Garcia, you know, a big contract, Soler. Aguilar is still there.
They extended Sandy Alcantara this offseason also. They gave Sandy a five-year extension, which was a big part of their offseason too.
So they spent some money.
They spent some money. Now the question is, did they spend money smartly and in the right way? You know, Soler is what he is. He's a guy who hits home runs. He's not going to fly average. He's going to strike out a lot, and that's what we've seen so far. He can get hot for a week or two at a time and put a team on his back, as he did with the Braves in the postseason last year as the World Series MVP. Avi Garcia is a guy who has had, if you look at his numbers, kind of every other year, a good year. Not a great year, but a good year every other year as kind of a complementary piece in some pretty good lineups and some hitter-friendly ballparks. Now he's coming into a pitcher-friendly park to be more of a marquee guy in this lineup, and he's off to a really slow start. He's begun to get some hits, but they didn't bring him in to hit singles, which he's getting a lot of lately. Here we are playing game 51. He's got three home runs. He's, I think, slugging .294 so far. So that's not what they brought him in for. But in both cases, with Garcia and with Soler, you've got Soler, who's Cuban-born and lives in Miami. You've got Avi, who lives in Miami. You know, I think both kind of looking at the first big contracts in their careers, thinking they really want to make a great first impression. Soler started slow. He's picked up the pace. Avi hasn't gotten it going yet. And you really have to feel as though he's pressing a little bit. And at some point, he's going to start hitting some balls out of the ballpark and driving in some runs.
Boy, great talking ball with Glenn Geffner. Just a minute or two to go. What would it take to get fans to come out to this park? Now, when I grew up, I used to go to Miami Stadium all the time on Sunday and see those Sunday doubleheaders in the International League. We loved it. And I know the Hurricanes are there and the Dolphins are there and the Heat are there now, which we didn't have years ago. But what would it take to make this thing happen? Because it's a beautiful park and it's in the Orange Bowl site.
Yeah, it's a $64,000 question, Marty. You know, we need to see this team win and sustain winning, and only then can we say, okay, this community is going to support it, or maybe say, you know what, no matter what you do, they're not going to support it. It's a great ballpark, great place to watch a game. It's a great place to work, but going back to the early years of this franchise, they drew $3 million in that first season in 1993 at the old football stadium. The strike came in 94, and where did all those fans go? They're out there somewhere. And, you know, it's always been a good event town. When the Dolphins win, they pack the place. When they don't, they don't. When the Heat's winning, they pack the place. When they're not, they don't. The Marlins just haven't had that success. Hopefully they have it soon, and we can find out for sure if they can make it work here.
Well, you need some stars. You need people to, you know, have players that people want to come out and see. And Chisholm is one of them for me. Now, maybe it's just against the Giants, but to me, he's an exciting player. You come out to the game, you like to see him play.
He is. He's very dynamic. He's very charismatic on a personal level. Now, he's been scuffling a little bit, got off the hot start. His last three, 4 weeks have not been good, and he's had a bad series. You might have seen him fire his helmet into a dugout wall last night after a strikeout. He's hitless in this series. He's 3 for his last 32 right now. Right. Hitting just under 200 in his last 20 games. But he is a guy with tremendous power, with great speed. He plays the game with a smile on his face. He's a fun guy to watch, and you hope he can put it all together and become one of those franchise face type players.
Well, thanks for taking the time to be on with us today. I know we really covered the Marlins well, and you do a nice job, and you're a hometown kid. Even though all your friends are gone, you're still a hometown kid.
We've made some new ones in recent years, but, yeah, the ones I grew up with are all gone.
I like it, though. But, no, it's a great job to be able to work where you grew up and for being part of Miami. So I'm glad you could do it, and I appreciate you being on.
Marty, always enjoy talking baseball with you. Call anytime.
A pleasure. All right, that is Glenn Geffner. He is the radio play-by-play voice of the Miami Marlins. More coming up. Our Giants pregame continues. Mark Simon, Sports Info Solutions, next right here on the Sports Leader.